This is American Roots, our conversation with popular singer and guitarist Boz Scaggs coming up. Boz credits blues, soul, country, and other deep sounds for the musical persona he crafted over many decades. In 2013, Boz went into Willie Mitchell's fabled Royal Studios in Memphis to record an album named for the city, the first in a trilogy dedicated to his own musical roots. This song with Charlie Musselwhite on harp is about a dry spell in life's unpredictable weather.
I've got dust on my shoes, need my crankcase drain. I've got dust on my shoes, need my crankcase drain. It's been a mean dry spell, but I think it's gonna rain. Well, the storm clouds rolling, my dog's pulling on his chain. Well, the storm clouds rolling, my dog's pulling on his chain. It's been a long dry spell, but I think it's gonna rain. Better rain.
Stand the rain against my window, bringing back sweet memories. Yeah, window pane, do you remember how sweet it used to be? Me.
Ann Peebles from St. Louis. She recorded I Can't Stand the Rain downriver in Memphis at High Record Studios 1973 with producer Willie Mitchell playing electric timbales to the sound of raindrops. Just another taste from the great city of soul and blues. Boz Scaggs is best known for his 1976 multi-platinum record Silk Degrees, featuring hits like Lido Shuffle and Low Down. But Boz has lived many lives before and since. He busked his way across the world and back, played guitar and sang with the Steve Miller Band, then recorded a solo record with Duane Allman at Muscle Shoals in 1969. Recently, he completed a trilogy of albums devoted to his favorite roots music. Boz Scaggs spoke to us from the road about his wanderlust and love of music, which took root growing up in what he calls Nowhere, Texas.
The blues was certainly something more immediate with me. It was something that I could actually hear and get my hands on. I had a cheap guitar, and the first thing that I could play was Jimmy Reed and Chuck Berry. And then later on, I remember the time and place when I was listening to late night radio and coming from Dallas, and I heard an instrumental by T-Bone Walker called Blues for Mary Lee. And it was one of those moments that just stopped time for me and gave me a little direction, some idea where I might want to go with the guitar. I was lucky to have that on the radio dial. We had a station in Dallas that was almost a college course in basic roots blues, the music that came out of the Delta and New Orleans, and it was just there every night.
Maybe you could say a bit about transitioning from all those things you heard and were into to actually getting up and performing.
Well, that happened in high school in Dallas. I made friends with these guys that had a band that were playing fraternity parties and playing rock and roll. Steve Miller was the leader of that band, and we became sort of best friends. He was a year older than I and went to Madison, Wisconsin when he graduated from high school. I went up to visit him in Madison, and I loved being out of Texas and out of the small town. And I enrolled in the university, but I didn't attend too many classes. Not to say that I didn't get an education, but it was just a great awakening for me. And in the summers, we worked around Wisconsin, Northern Illinois, playing shows 7 nights a week. I could feel myself getting better as a musician, and I liked the lifestyle.
At some point, I know you went to Europe, busking your way around. That takes a little bit of courage.
Well, it was a sort of romantic vision that got planted of travel and romance and being a Dharma bum kind of hitchhiking. I ended up taking that trip through Greece and Turkey and Iran and Afghanistan and India and Nepal and Russia and Sweden. Mainly, I got by playing in clubs with my guitar. I guess it was my ticket to ride, so to speak.
All around the water tank, waiting for a train. Give him a line of talk. He says, if you've got the money, I'll see that you don't walk. I haven't got a nickel, not a penny can I show. Get off, you railroad bum. He slammed the boxcar door.
Well, tell me a little bit about going out to San Francisco when you come back to the States. What is it that drew you originally to San Francisco?
There was something in the zeitgeist about San Francisco and the beatniks, and California itself had a, had a particular charm to me. The hot rod cars and beach life, the golden youthfulness of it all. California was a sort of a beacon, I think, to a lot of us at that time.
Sure.
I got an invitation from, it was the Steve Miller Blues Band at that time. Steve had been in California for a couple of years and was pretty well established on the scene. One of the guitar players fell out of the band, and I got a ticket and some dough to take the guitar player's place. And so I hit San Francisco in September of 1967. That was right at the end of the so-called Summer of Love, when that musical explosion was at its apex.
Time keeps on slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Tell me how you get to Muscle Shoals and make that record in 1968, just called Boz Scaggs, a remarkable record.
I'd left the Miller Band, and I was on my own. I was writing songs, and Jan was starting Rolling Stone magazine that year and happened to live across the street from me. And he was had met the major record company executives out of New York and L.A., and I sent an audition tape with him to Atlantic Records. Jerry Wexler heard it and offered me a contract. I decided I'd like to work with the Muscle Shoals rhythm section in their studio.
Oh, yeah.
We planned and requested several musicians. Most pointedly, we wanted to make sure we had Dwayne Skydog Allman on the session. Dwayne had been a journeyman, had been in L.A. and all around, and he gave a certain versatility to the music. And, of course, the Muscle Shoals rhythm section could contribute to just about anything you wanted to do.
So you got my number, so you pin me down. Yes, you grasped my meaning, and you've been around. Well, I'm easy. Hey, I'm simple like a fool.
The mid-70s is where you kind of hit a stride where you're getting a lot of songs that are, you know, widely heard. How did that affect your music and your feeling about what you were doing? Because the songs you're quite well known for in that period really have a strong pop music aspect to them.
The Philly sound came along, and I grew with that. I learned more complex progressive chords and chord progressions, and the harmonics were more sophisticated, and the grooves were more experimental, and I adapted my voice and my songwriting to that. I had material to work with, and I was introduced to a young rhythm section. They were as much into the Isley Brothers as I was, and
that helps.
We made this record. It was Silk Degrees record, and it put me on the map.
Babies into running around, hanging with the crowd, putting your business in the street. Talking out loud, saying you bought her this and that, and how much you done spent. I swear she must believe it's all hell to say. Hey boy, better bring a check around to the sad, sad truth, the dirty law down. Taught her how to talk like that. That big idea.
Tell me what brings you to this trilogy, including where we get to finally this year. But what is it that brings you back to some of the musical heartlands and sounds that inspired you when you were a kid in the 50s?
It really evolved out of my relationship with Steve Jordan, the producer and drummer. Having met Steve and recognized a fellow traveler, so to speak, we tried to make time for ourselves to do something together. Anyway, I had a new record contract, and we had a chance to cook something up together. It was as two minds in one body. We knew just what studio and what musicians we wanted to work with, and the material itself was stuff that we just found to be interesting and fun and groove-worthy. There's some rock and some rockabilly and some New Orleans and some soul and some this and that.
You know, over the years, you listen to somebody who's making records in the 60s, and now here we are in 2018, and it seems to me that your voice has taken on the gravitas of being a wide-ranging performer over these many years. What are you looking for in your voice when you perform?
Well, it's everything that I've ever listened to. It's those early records that used to play in my parents' house, whether it be Nat Cole or Frank Sinatra or Fats Domino or Elvis or Chuck Berry. My voice has been my ticket to relive that music. I've had a style for some time, but I haven't had the voice to carry it. I feel like my voice is actually coming to be the instrument that I've always wanted. I was not a fully formed singer or musician when I started. I can listen to early Ray Charles or Van Morrison or the Beatles, who were fully formed when they were young. Their dream was realized. I'm not that. It took me decades to be able to sing the music that I'm feeling and hearing inside myself.
Well, Boz Scaggs, I want to thank you for dropping in off the road to share your thoughts and music here on American Roots.
Oh, thanks, Nick. Really nice talking to you.
I was born in the cane brakes, raised up in the lion's den.
Stick from Boz Scaggs' new release, Out of the Blues, the last of his trilogy that also includes Memphis and A Fool to Care. And we are back with Boz Scaggs, his sources and sojourns from Bright Lights, Big City to On the Beach when American Roots returns.